Hi, welcome to StanLib's weekly economic podcast. My name is Kevin Lings and I'm the chief economist within StanLib. The intention with these weekly podcasts is to unpack some of the key economic developments that have unfolded over the past week. And I think for this week, we need to focus on two key topics. The first is the inflation data out of China. We've seen both producer and consumer inflation in China go into deflation. In other words, prices are declining year on year. And I think we need to unpack some of that detail and understand some of the dynamics around that and what that means for the Chinese economy, but also what that means for broad inflationary pressure around the world. The second topic is South Africa's tourism sector. It's a more positive, I think, topic, having a look at international flights arriving in South Africa and what has happened to foreign tourism relative to where we were before COVID. So let's start with the Chinese inflation data. We've got both producer and consumer inflation for January of this year, and both of those numbers are in deflation. Producer inflation was measured at -2.5%, and that is in fact the 16th month in a row that producer inflation has been negative. At the same time, consumer inflation was measured at -0.8%, the fourth month in a row that has been in deflation. And clearly, it's a bit of a concern. It's a concern because as an economy goes into deflation, there's always this risk that consumers hold back on spending. Naturally or logically, if you see that prices are falling, what you may do is delay your purchase decision, believing that prices are going to fall further. But the act of delaying your purchase decision then results in prices falling further, which causes you to delay your purchase decision even more. And so it becomes a self-reinforcing cycle to the downside. We certainly saw that in Japan when they went through an extended phase of deflation, and it's clearly unhelpful for economic growth. And if that were to manifest in China, it would clearly undermine global growth, given that China is the second biggest economy in the world. Fortunately, I don't think that's quite what is materializing. A lot of the deflation we've seen relates to food prices, particularly at the consumer level. So if you look at some of that detail, food inflation at the moment is -5.9% and clearly explains a lot of the overall deflation measured in the consumer price index. If we break down that food component into some of the key elements, you've got pork prices at -17%, and pork in China has a very high weighting within the food basket. You've got fresh vegetables at -12.7%. You've got fresh fruit at -9.1%. So clearly that is a key element to the deflation. That doesn't mean that outside of those components, you've got particularly high inflation numbers, not at all. But it's perhaps a little bit of an exaggeration to suggest that China is entering an extended phase of deflation and therefore an extended phase of weak economic performance. The other component I think you've got to bear in mind is that a lot of this is seasonal. And so we've got now the Chinese New Year that has started later than normal. And I think with the Chinese New Year, you get a lot of celebration, you get a lot of holidays. And so the demand for food products will go up substantially. That's likely to result in price pressure to the upside in the food categories. And so it's entirely feasible that the latest number in consumer inflation is actually the low point for the moment, and that we see some measure of inflationary or positive inflation data over the coming months. Nevertheless, having said that, I think that the Chinese economy is weak overall. Perhaps it's weaker than what the official data is suggesting. It's also clear that the stimulus that the Chinese government has introduced has had very little impact on moving the economy into a better performance overall. And clearly the property sector is a clear hindrance and it needs to be resolved. And while there are efforts to try and clean up that component, it's going to take a while longer. And I think as long as you've got this property sector overhang or negative confidence effect in the Chinese economy, it's likely that the numbers will remain somewhat disappointing. The second topic I think is a little bit more encouraging, and it relates to foreign tourism into South Africa. And there are two key numbers I want to focus on. The first is the number of international flights arriving in South Africa, and the second is simply the number of foreign tourists that stay at least one night in the country. And both of those numbers look good. In terms of international flights, we had a record number in December last year, 3,607 flights. That's actually 6% higher than where it was before COVID. If we break that down, there's been a decent recovery in flights arriving at OR Tambo, pretty much back to the historical highs, around about 2,600 flights a month. But encouraging, a new record high for the number of flights arriving in Cape Town. And it's very clear that Cape Town is growing as an international travel hub. We saw that before COVID. There was strong growth coming through. It obviously fell off during COVID, but it's recovered even stronger and now at an all-time high of just over 800 flights a month. Now, clearly, 800 flights is not as large as what we've got in OR Tambo, but the rate of growth is impressive. If we then look at King Shaka Airport in Durban, it's also had some improvement, but it's not back to historical highs. It sits at around about 70, 80 flights a month, whereas the historical high would typically be a bit over 100 flights a month. But there has been some recovery going on within the Durban region. So if you put all three areas together, then, as I say, a record number of flights coming in, and I've got no doubt that that's going to persist. In other words, while some of that growth is seasonal and relates to simply the end of the year season, I think during the course of this year, I would certainly expect that the number of international flights establish a record high for the year in total, and that we see a ongoing improvement in foreign tourism. If I look at the foreign tourism numbers themselves, very seasonal, with most of the foreign tourists arriving, as you would expect, during the summer months. And we also can see that a lot of that tourism is focused on Cape Town and then some of the game parks. But when I look at the overall number, it's almost back to historical highs. It hasn't gone technically back to those levels that persisted before COVID, but it's made a very decent recovery. And I think that recovery will continue on. Obviously, some of that relates to events. So if we have a big sporting event in the country or some sort of conference event, then we can attract an increasing number of foreign tourists. But there's no doubt that overall it is on the ascendancy, and I think this year will represent an all-time record high, particularly as we get towards the end of the year. There's also no doubt that South Africa is a very cheap destination by international standards, and so that is contributing. It's seen as a value for money destination. Now, I think we've got to do a lot of work to try and get tourism to a bigger number overall, and a lot of that work relates to resolving some of the infrastructure bottlenecks within the tourism sector, certainly addressing the incidence of crime and the visibility of crime in this country. So I think it's a long-term process to try and put us in better shape. But I'm encouraged by the progress we've made so far in terms of being able to recover from the COVID crisis. Tourism in total is still a fairly small portion of this economy, so it's not as if this growth is going to really bolster South Africa's overall GDP performance, but every little bit helps, and this is, I think, one of the more positive stories going on in South Africa that is worthwhile highlighting, because we've seen internationally, once you get a pickup in tourism, other tourists are encouraged by that pickup and therefore willing to go to that destination, and it can become a little bit self-reinforcing to the upside, which certainly South Africa could do with at this stage. So that's all from me from this week. Hope it makes some sense, and we'll catch up in a week's time. Cheers for now.